Yeah.
Trying to kick it off. I don't know. Maybe a little bit rusty. You know?
Yeah.
We haven't potted in a while.
In a year.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
Woo! All right. I'm ready now. Yeah. Fucking warm me up.
I don't know. Why don't we begin by you explaining what happened to the New Year's riddle?
Yeah, we got some bad news, guys. We didn't want to get off on a bad leg.
There's an ill omen in the land for 2019.
Yeah, we're sorry, man.
I screwed up. I didn't write my
What was
New
the New
Year's riddle
last year? Did you do one?
Yeah.
What was it?
A tailor would not be well suited to tailor this sort of suit.
Lawsuit.
It was a lawsuit.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember that.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Prophetic. Yeah.
Oh,
my God. Wow.
Can you do one where the answer to the riddle is...
Well, that's the thing.
Counter-sue for attorney's fees?
That's the thing. So I didn't write a riddle, but I wrote the answer to the riddle.
Yeah, so let's do this. Let's give people the answer, and then they can think of one.
Okay. All right. The answer to the riddle is a journey.
All right. And, you know, close your ears if you don't want spoilers for this one. The riddle for this answer is... It's a cool place in the mall you can go to get shoes, hats, shirts, anything else, bracelets. You just look awesome. No one's going to know that you're 35.
Well, sorry about the New Year's riddle. I know I had a year to write it. but I'm
we've
not.
Been, we've been busy. Come on.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Don't worry. I don't stop believing in you.
I picture like it's like a beautiful mind. Virgil's in his study with like three different chalkboards and a globe trying to write the riddle. And he just like any way I write it, I just get the word journey. I just get the answer is the word journey.
So it's the first show of 2019. And man, oh man, is the year already so fucking stupid. And
holy crap. I can't imagine it's going to get any stupider, but we all know it will.
Has anyone tried turning off 2019 and turning it back on again?
Is it just me or does 2019 feel like the motherfucking season finale of the TV show of 2019? It feels like a little bit like that.
I've been on vacation. We've been on pod vacation. And it's just, you know, already new Congress, new year.
New fit.
I already want to die. I just, it's already made me so pissed off. And the one thing that has already pissed me off probably more than anything is everyone getting mad at newly seated Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib for saying of Donald Trump at a bar, we're going to impeach this motherfucker.
Well, I'm mad at her for lying because they're not going to do that. I'm mad at her for lying, honestly. Because come on, you're not going to do it.
I think they will, but that's ancillary.
No, I mean forget impeachment. I don't care. I mean, like impeach him or don't. But like the fact that when I say getting mad at her, I mean every fucking like shithead centrist lib columnist and politician who has literally said this helps Donald Trump because, you know, when you wrestle with a pig, you know, he'll like it and you'll both end up dirty.
If you wrestle with a pig, you'll get hard and everyone will see it. No, I mean, so the main reaction that I've seen, the annoying one, it's like, right, it's like Jake Tapper.
Ugh.
And
Jake Tap Out.
Yeah, Jake Tapper.
Founder of the MMA and T-shirt dynasty.
Yeah, he used to be really cool.
Yeah.
Jake Tapout, Mitt Romney, was David Axelrod?
Jeff Flake was on that shit. David Axelrod.
Did David Axelrod do it?
I feel like he did.
Okay, yeah, I figured. He always, like, whenever there's a story like this, he's always like, I think people will like it if I just softly tut-tut about this. And just no one likes it, no one appreciates it, and it's like, why do you keep doing this,
man? Meanwhile, he's doing Chatterbait sessions with fucking Karl Rove. Amazing.
That's a good podcast. I like to listen to the Axe Files podcast where he talks to Skeletor and they come to a consensus about when the deficit mattered. Fucking rocks. I love listening to it with my entire family. But yeah, no, it's been an annoying time because it's like all the people who like, really it just seems like all on the center left side, it's all the people who got everyone elected in 2006 who then lost about 30 seconds after. Is like, no, you guys don't know how to win. This isn't how to win. And it's like, really? Like, you kind of got us here. And then on the other side, yeah, it's Jeff Flake, who, you know, just his son's Xbox Live name being what it is. And Mitt Romney. Yeah, but it's like, I feel like I'm going to be honest, I could not even, like, keep up with this one. Because it just, like, this is just a rerun. I've seen this one so many fucking times since he's been president. This exact same story where it's like, it's the same exact fucking thing where someone like, is like rude or uncivil. And then, you know, the heel character, David Axelrod or Jeff Flake is like, this is bad actually. And then, someone posts a formulaic tweet where it's like, you know, leftist, let's impeach this motherfucker. Liberal, these things are exactly the same. And just nothing ever, it's the exact same thing. New year, same me. I was hoping that we would get new things in this year. I was hoping that Liz Warren would do another 23andMe or like Joe Biden would declare himself the Me Too candidate or something. But no, just this again. We're just getting this again.
Well, I mean, it has to start off this way because it's nobody's doing anything. They're introducing a new cast of characters. They're introducing new characters to the DC carnival.
Yeah. This is like the first season of a reality TV show, and you see like them do one outrageous thing. You're like, oh, all right, that's the one who cusses.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's like apparently on The Bachelor, one lady came up to the guy with an Australian accent that she made up just so that he would remember her. It's the same thing. You got to have a hook. She's the sweary congresswoman now. And AOC is the dancing congresswoman.
Yeah,
and
Mitt Romney wears that weird underwear.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney's sort of the bad boy of the new Congress, I think.
Well, okay, yeah. Mitt Romney.
Marsha Blackburn shoots varmints at the dump.
Yeah, Dan Crenshaw just, man, you thought I was fighting kids on Fortnite?
Oh God. Oh yeah, I love them all. Mitt Romney, though, he's back, and wouldn't you know it, basically, I think probably about a month after Ezra Klein did his thing, or like as Paul Ryan is like got leaving, he's like, guess what, everybody? I was wrong to believe Paul Ryan.
Now that this guy can no longer be a source for me in any way, and he's no longer in power,
means nothing to say
and it
at
means
this point.
Nothing to say that. I'm going to say that he was full of shit.
Their new guy is going to be Dan Crenshaw, though. That's the new
I was going to say like his Mitt Romney thing, where Mitt Romney did that Washington Post article where he was like, Mr. Trump. Now, you've done some good things, like, you know, slashing corporate taxes at the expense of literally everything else, appointing a rapist to the Supreme Court. And
child jails.
The child gulag system. But, sir, like, character matters, and your character is bringing the country down. Ezra Klein just said of that, like this is a big deal. Romney's taking a big chance here, and he's leading the way for like, you know, a new kind of, and it's just, again, there's nothing new.
Ecclesiastes is the greatest book ever written. Ecclesiastes is the truest shit that has ever been written down. This is just,
actually, you're thinking of Battlestar Galactica.
Well,
Battlestar
Galactica
will happen again.
That's the literal translation of Ecclesiastes.
No, it came first.
The title.
Came first.
But yeah, no, nothing new under the sun. I do think I will differ, and I will say that Mitt Romney op-ed, it's going to get some burn for a little bit, but I do think the new guy that it's okay for libs to like is going to be Dan Crenshaw, because he went on SNL and he did the epic face with Pete Davidson.
God.
They also made a point about how, you know, you should respect people. He's epic, like, all the time. But
this guy's
he's also
got
like
fucking Gacy level bodies on him.
Okay, all right. I saw this thing and it made me laugh so hard. There's some woman who writes for like the Daily Wire, one of those bullshit right wing sites, posted a picture of Dan Crenshaw, who's one eye, and two other congressmen, Republican congressmen, who were amputees. And with a caption like, yes.
From war, or just like diabetes or something?
From war. They were veterans. Yeah. And just said, yes, I love this so much. And all I can think is like, what? Soldiers getting their comeuppance?
Yeah, she sounds Maoist third worldist there. Yeah. glory of the insurgent armies as they wreak havoc on the soldiers of empire. May their blood fill the streets.
Dude, I mean,
and quench the sands.
Props to Ben Shapiro for giving a voice, like, you know, he is interested in debate with the J.D. Pond. Like, he doesn't want any of these running dog, Dem Sock.
Yeah, none of that bullshit.
That's real intellectual diversity. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I don't want to debate with social fascists. The only left I will entertain is in the Maoist tradition. The fallacy is like the ocean, and the logic is like the fish. You don't win debates with logic and reason. You win debates through class struggle, and class struggle alone.
through the lessons of class struggle. Oh, yeah, the other thing, AOC, she's made, you know, quite a splash because the video of her dancing came out, and then she did like the reply video. Basically, like the narrative was like the right wing or like the Daily Wire nerds are just like, you know, can you believe how dumb this makes her look? And everyone was like, what are you talking about? But I couldn't really even. It was one of those things where it's just like looking at an Escher drawing, trying to figure out who was mad at what. But like, basically now what I like is all the right wing, or what they're really mad about now is the implication that they were ever mad at all about her dancing.
Yeah. And then she proposed 70% marginal tax rate and reminded them all why they actually hate her. That and their confused sexual feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were all just kind of like really horny. Like, that's the thing.
I remember seeing this post like right when she first won, where it was like, you know, like some QAnon being like, look at this insane woman. And one of the replies was like, I think she is absolutely insane, but she has those wonderful Latina eyes that I love so much. And I think it does like drive them a little insane. They don't know. It's like our favorite guys ever, the guys that Brian found, the horned up libs.
Oh, God. Yeah, they're like, I'm going to put my liberal dick in Sarah Palin.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck I'm the crazy right out of her.
The best phrase I've ever read. I'm going to give her a liberal WMD. It's the same sort of thing where it's like they can't like govern their feelings sexually. So it's just like, it's almost like a child. It's like when a kid first like starts to like girls and they're just like, oh, I should pull their hair in class and like hit them in the leg.
Well, I think it's just they're also so used to being fed like a steady diet of like the, you know, the ramen hair girl.
Exactly.
And like just
they're
like
used to sexy women presenting them with red meat, with ideologically compatible red meat.
Yeah.
So they're like getting horny. It's like when George Costanza got sex and food twisted in his head. For them, sexiness and right-wing politics have been fused. They get horny and it makes them more right-wing, and they think about right-wing stuff and it gets them horny because of all of the hot ladies they see on Fox and they follow on Twitter. And now there's a sexy lady talking socialist stuff, and it is frying their brain because it's not supposed to happen that way. They're like a 50s robot with sparks shooting out of their heads.
They're also really having trouble with the idea of not just someone on the left, but a member of Congress who is young, charismatic, optimistic, and very plainly full of life, which is not at all like any of them as individuals or any of the people they like.
Yeah, that's absolutely no one. Like, everyone in Congress is just, they gave up on their souls a long time ago. And you should just be cynical of literally anyone in there, because it just, you know, Congress, usually the best case, they're just people who can get a job anywhere else, or just whatever freaks from their district who, you know, they were drunken lawyers like John Boehner, or they're just ambitious freaks. But yeah, no, she is unusually charismatic and energetic.
And even their young people are like Ben Shapiro, where their idea of fun is talking about how rap isn't actually music. And everybody in Congress is just a guy who drank the wrong grail and then stumbled out of the cave.
in
Congress.
They're epic congressmen. It's like when that fucking repulsive thing Rand Paul does every year where he's like, we're doing the Festivus tradition.
Oh, God.
I give Senator Ben Cardin from Maryland three epic files. And everyone's like, this is the funniest shit I've ever... It's like even those hooting MAGA people have to pretend that's funny now because Rand likes Trump now.
Obviously, like the dancing thing, who the fuck knows? I mean, that was just one of those, like, you know, viral Twitter things that everyone talks about for a couple days. But the 70% tax rate thing is more interesting because now, like, because I can't even remember the last time any even like liberal politicians started talking about
all they talk about
Eisenhower
is making them pay their fair share. It's always very, very vague.
It's very vague. And what she's saying is like a 70% tax rate of income over $10 million, which, let's be honest, is like should be a hell of a lot steeper than that. Like the
absolutely
bar should be a lot lower.
FDR was saying 100 during World War II.
$100?
100%.
Anyone who makes over $100 gets taxed at 70%. I agree, sir.
Immediately, like, they're going back to the old playbook, which is, you know, trading off the fact that basically nobody understands what a marginal tax rate is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, like, they're just saying, like, she's going to rate... Could you imagine paying 70% of your income in taxes to some fucking, like, I don't know, like a guy who works at, like, Safeway or whatever, like... And, Yeah, like they're going to pretend that that's like, yeah, the new tax rate is going to be 70%. Yeah. Like your paycheck is going to go 70%.
As wary as I am of, like, you know, anyone on the national political level, it is very encouraging that this is in the purview again. Because after the Bush tax cuts, it's always been the debate between 35 and 40%. And that this is now entertained is just a huge shift of possibility.
Yeah.
That is incredibly encouraging that we're at least talking about this, because it didn't seem like we were ever going to get back into that window.
I mean, I don't want to do like the dumb, like political strategy guy, like, like, you know, messaging like horse shit, but like, yeah, you're right. Like the fact that like the idea of it is now being debated, not like the idea like, oh, should it be 36%?
Right.
It's that like where it really should be, even like, you know, 90% was during Eisenhower.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, how about just $10 million is the most money you can have? And then after Perfect. That, just like, yeah. What can't you do with $10 million a year in income?
Right. That's what's so important
Excuse
about this.
Excuse me,
is
but adrenochrome is $1 billion a kilo.
Okay. Okay.
Were you just looking up adrenochrome?
All right. Okay.
What I like about this, we're talking about the morality of redistributive policies. And that is absolutely a precondition for any sort of change in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing, like the other, like the, you know, the sort of, I guess, I'm parroting their idiotic language, but like the fight that she picked on the way in over the, like the paygo rules. And I swear to God, I saw all the fucking, like the, so many fucking Democrat, like lib accounts are just like, yeah, like, you know, we like her, but like, it's just like, now is not the time for this. You know, you got to pick your battles. And it's just like, pick your battles. Like with this paygo rule, it means that literally there is no legislation that you could achieve as a Democrat, like of even the things that you want to do. And they're like, oh, now is not the time. And it's just like, dude, they're like right off the bat, like you got to go straight at that. You got to go at the filibuster and like all of this shit that is literally created to make sure that like nothing, even with a whiff of any kind of progressive agenda, is even possible legally.
Well, that's another great thing. She's actually challenging austerity. Mm-hmm. You know, Bernie Sanders, for all his strong points, I feel like he didn't make austerity in America a big enough issue. He didn't talk about that nearly enough. And it is encouraging that, again, this was something no one talked about at all, really. It's a very good opening of possibilities and introducing things, as much as I hate this term, introducing things into the conversation. It was a completely untouched thing. It was just sort of assumed that we would keep paygo forever because it was Pelosi's favorite way of doing things.
And widening the scope of possibilities, I mean, that is the exact payoff of a left electoral strategy.
Exactly. That's the only one in the near term.
And what we're seeing right now is the promise of having who's potentially the most popular elected official in the country and probably the most popular elected official of her generation in America be a socialist, which is a really just staggering situation to be in, one that I could scarcely have imagined 2 years ago.
And, you know, obviously there's going to be down the road, it's going to get messier as the summit of actual power comes closer into view, if that does happen. But at this point, you know, the left is such a scattered, divided, and unconcentrated. Oh, there's just kind of an ambient feeling. I mean, and people don't even know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then
yeah.
So in a moment like this, where you have, at least for the next 2 years, Republican control of at least two parts of government and the Senate still persisting, in the near term, any value of voting, any value of electoral work is creating things to focus people's minds on, issues, policies that might cut through just the malaise and the sense of giving up that pervades everywhere else. This idea of, well, this is just it forever. This is all we can ever hope for. And the only way you're going to get the necessary step of people organizing on a large scale is if they get the first step of even thinking that that's possible.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the talk around like the left of the new Congress has been centered around economic policy and the Green New Deal, which I actually like that there is. I don't know enough about the Green New Deal itself to say whether it's like a good or bad or effective idea, but it is that there is at least some radical action towards climate change actually proposed. as opposed to just, you know, okay, we're going to re-enter the Paris agreements and then not think about it for the rest of time.
Yeah.
But Rashida Tlaib, I think the more interesting, the more substantial thing she did. Think about all you saw for the last 5 years was everyone who's pivoting to the left now, like Gillibrand, signing on to anti-BDS laws. And Tlaib has come out in favor of BDS. That is humongous.
And also wouldn't go on the AIPAC junket. Wouldn't go to the conference.
That is gigantic.
And Ryan Grimm and Glenn Greenwald actually have a piece in The Intercept today. Technically, the government's still in shutdown, but literally the first thing that the Senate is going to do in the new year or debate is an anti-BDS law that would allow states to sue any company they do business with if they support BDS.
If there is someone on the national level who puts that in the purview, why do you have to sign a loyalty oath to do Israel in your state? If that is actually taught, that's massive. That's gigantic.
And, I tweeted about this morning, but a blast from the past, Daniel Pipes.
Oh, my. Name we haven't heard in forever.
Daniel laying the pipe.
Daniel, get my pipe.
Responded to Rashida Tlaib calling Trump a motherfucker by basically saying, like, now you know what Israel feels like.
I love
now that,
I,
now
oh
that the Palestinian
God. Is doing
Congress,
swears at the calls of
Palestine
Congress.
Has been doing swears to Israel for years.
There's been
now.
Kinetic cussing on the border between Gaza and Israel.
You know what it feels like? You know what it feels like when you bulldoze someone's home and they call you a head ass?
They're just flying kites over the security barrel that says, hey, buddy, fuck you.
It's a big banner that says, hello, I'm Big Butt Benny Netanyahu.
Daniel Pipes sort of went away for a while because it was like, it used to be like you needed a member of your party to have the anti-Muslim multiplier, mm-hmm. but now everyone can do it. Like every Republican can do it. And, you know, some Democratic Party big donors like Chaim Saban also picked up that ability. But he showed why he's the best. He's the best at the special Israeli attack multiplier, which is constantly crying. Never stop crying. Never stop bitching about how literally everyone has it out for you. Everyone's rude to you, even though you are the rudest fucking people who have ever lived. Most unpleasant. All you do is just wear capri pants and get into shoving matches at a pizza restaurant at midnight. over a thing where you're going to transport MDMA by RC cars over the Lebanese border. You just cry, cry, cry. Everyone hates us.
I would like, honestly, though, like, I mean, the idea that cursing is beyond the pale in Washington is hilarious. I mean, we've heard the Lyndon Johnson tapes, you know, but I guess these people would say, oh, he wasn't saying it in public.
What, Dick
whatever.
Cheney? In fucking Senate, saying "Go fuck yourself."
How about when they leaked when George W. Bush said the soft N-word in DM?
No, but honestly, to me, it's not enough. Though, I mean, first of all, it was at a bar. I mean, I know she's being filmed, but like, she's just, you know, rallying the troops. Let's impeach this motherfucker. Like, you know, that to me is pretty tame. I think I would really like to see in 2019. I want to up the game. Donald Trump is a cunt.
Yeah.
Just like the Republican Party, or they're cunts. It's a party of cunts.
You have to say it in a British accent.
You
got to
do it in a British accent. Yeah, you got to sound like Statham.
No, I'm saying it in the American way, which is more offensive. I mean, like, him and his whole family are cunts, and they should be referred to as such. And I want, like, you know, Jake Tapper or someone to have to write an article about how, like, this is a new low.
Well, the reason they freak out about it is, and people say, how are you getting mad about this? Fucking Donald Trump is president. He called one member of Congress in a tweet, which goes in the Library of Congress, Adam Shit.
That was so funny.
And the response is, well, we can't lower ourselves to our level because it's a minor expression of the greater fear, which is that as Trump ignores and the Republican Party in general ignores and destroys the norms, that the Democrats will follow. And if that happens, because the norms are what keep all of this horse shit going. The norms are what keep, you know. The norms are what keep the flow, keep the blood flowing, the spice flowing. And if the norms collapse and it reveals just the interests behind the norms, then that could be terrifying to the people who actually run the Democratic Party. So they have a very vested interest in keeping one side holding on to the norms. And of course, you respond to them, well, they've abandoned the norms to their benefit. What's the point of us keeping on to them? And they won't say it. They have a bunch of bullshit. The real reason is if we drop all of that, then it's just a fucking conflict of interests.
What?
And now all of a sudden, our actual interests are revealed and that we can't have that.
Well, that does seem to be the refrain from like a lot of the sort of centrist Democratic side about this kind of stuff, where it's just like, you know, I know it makes you happy to call, you know, Eric and Don Jr. the cunt brothers, but you know, like you're really like, you know, do you really just want to become more like Trump? Do you want the Democratic Party to be like the Trump Party? And I'm like, what do you mean controlling all three branches of government? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? And like, the reason they're getting mad at Rashida is not because she said motherfucker. It's because of the AIPAC shit. It's because of the tax
100%.
Rates. Like, you know, if like Kristen Gillibrand had or like, you know, Elizabeth Warren or something, or I don't know, Elizabeth Warren, if Gillibrand or Kamala Harris had just been like, Donald Trump, fuck that hoe, they would all just be like, they would love it if
Klobuchar came out and was like, Donald Trump is a thought.
Like, I just want somebody to point out that he is senile and he wears diapers and shits himself. I just want someone to say that. Are we not talking about the fact that he's clearly just his brain doesn't exist?
I've only seen exactly one political candidate just come out and say that and say like, yeah, this is probably the paramount issue right now is that the president is literally senile and that has to end. I forget, some guy who lost his primary.
Well, it's accurate. Somebody just has to be like, dude, you're shitting yourself right now.
And
do you
see the video of him in where he's like, and I was with all the great generals, and they were better looking and better than Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
it's so Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
This motherfucker.
And there is the wall, the comments about like walls, they've been beautiful since the beginning of time.
It's the greatest technology. They always work 100%.
So it's
and
hard.
He's stuck. He was in the Rose Garden with the Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader.
Oh, that was so cool.
He goes, thanks, Steve.
He calls him Steve twice.
Yeah.
He's like, Steve, thank you, Steve.
So it's kind of maddening to think about, wondering if everybody either just doesn't know that the president's senile or just has a tacit agreement to, you know, let's just not talk about it. You know, that's just how it works.
There was that article in the Times, I don't know how much you can credit it because who knows who was talking to them, that made the claim that the whole reason that Trump has decided to shut down the government over the wall funding is because when his advisors were first sitting him down to figure out what his messaging would be when he decided to run in 2014, and they wanted to make sure that he hit immigration on all of his speeches, but they knew that he wouldn't really read off of teleprompters and he just kind of talked about himself. They needed a thing for him to say. They needed a thing in his head so that he would remember it. So that he would remember to say it, so that he wouldn't just talk about how many times he tried to fuck Marky Post, that he talked about immigration. And so the wall was a mnemonic, because as a guy who builds things, it appealed him on that level. It's tactile. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay.
Wall, yes. Wall was an acronym for winning against liberal losers.
Yeah. And there's just like, and then so because it was a simple concept, a concrete, literally,
yes,
a concrete
yes.
concept. He was able to remember it and talk about it in all of his speeches, and it helped work. It got all the hogs oinking like crazy.
Yeah, well, that's also why it's appealing to them.
Exactly.
As well.
They're as stupid as him.
Right.
They're as incapable of abstract thought. They are as captured by symbols as he is, and as fearful and dumb. But then he got in there, and it stuck. It's the only thing that's stuck.
Yeah.
So now he would do anything else. He would compromise anything else. He doesn't have any real other beliefs, but this thing, the wall, has to happen because it's the only thing that he spent 4 years thinking about.
It's funny because the other kind of tent poles there, repealing Obamacare, renegotiating NAFTA, I mean, those are far too abstract for him to do anything about.
And when they
I'm pretty sure he has said we've killed Obamacare, so that's checked.
No, he says that a lot.
And then he said, we got rid of NAFTA. That's done.
Because like, they changed the name.
Yeah.
And they changed
these,
a few
these are
provisions.
These are thorny, complicated, abstract things.
A wall is a real thing.
Yeah, it's either a wall or it isn't.
Exactly. And that he can grasp it, and so it's and so he will have the government not ever reopen, apparently, according to him. He will just hold on until there's one TSA guy in every airport.
I'm all
one
for that.
One Stankonovite fucking TSA guy doing all of the rectal searches.
Yeah, I'm for that too. The TSA doesn't.
No,
do
it's great. I hope this happens. Bring it. Just grind the entire government down. That would be ideal. I know it's hurting the people who are getting their paychecks, but I mean, this is not a tenable situation. Having this fucking King Ludwig like late Habsburg drool case being president, especially with a Democratic Congress. I mean, they can't go along with what he wants to do and be a meaningful opposition. So something has to give. I don't know what it's going to be.
I think like, no, they can, you can do a lot of bipartisan stuff with this Congress. Like, you can pass a non-binding resolution that officially acknowledges that Donald Trump, like the guy who found Wendy's, his name wasn't originally Dave Thomas, and Donald Trump told him to change his name to that. It's a good burger name. It's one of the great burger names that we love to hear. You say Dave Thomas, that's a man who grills a great one.
I've also told them square. Everyone else is round.
When you get a
square.
When you're getting a circle, you're getting cheated. There are no corners.
The corners are the best part. Corners of the burger. Amazing.
Just Kevin McCarthy and Nancy Pelosi like smiling side by side, and they're like, we all admit that he came up with the idea for the girl Wendy and had sex with her.
Because we're reaching a kind of an inflection point of insanity, because lately he's been threatening to, and obviously he has said insane things in the past, some often though with prompting, sort of like he's like an improv 101 student. They're like, 13th Amendment, and they throw it out to him. He's like, yeah, no more, we're gonna get rid of that. Like with the Axios thing and birthright citizenship, which he never followed.
Which, by the way, I don't blame Axios at all. If I had that opportunity, of course I'd ask him some dumb shit. Right. And just see what the dumbest thing he'd sign on to is.
And some people predicted that he's probably just not going to follow that up. It's something the guy said to him, and he's like, yeah, sure. But once again, too abstract for him to really grab onto. The wall is so real that now he's talking about using, quote, the military aspect of eminent domain.
Otherwise known as war.
Invasion. Yeah. Yeah. The eminent, like when they did the eminent, the military version of eminent domain to annex Poland. To do that and declare a national emergency to just bypass the entire congressional process, which is of dubious to non-existent legality. And once again, they might be able to talk him down. They give him a busy block. They put on blood sport and maybe he forgets about it. But the fact that the government is shut down in this way and is a unavoidable crisis, because that's the thing, it's been sort of almost miraculous, especially for the people of Puerto Rico, that how few, relatively few real crisis moments there have been in the Trump presidency. Yeah. Because obviously that would be a disaster if he was supposed to preside over any really threatening moment.
And well, that was Puerto Rico. That
exactly.
Is what we've
that's
seen
the
what
example.
Happened.
That's what will happen to anywhere else where this happened. And so this, though, is a prolonged crisis moment. Because it's going to get worse. It's like, the longer it's not open, the more people are just going to stop coming to work, and the more danger that some of the mechanisms of government services become. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, there's going to be some sort of resolution to it. And we know he won't take anything less than $5 billion, because then he's a pussy. So I don't even know. It could get even stupider. Really, really quickly.
I think it could too. I mean, it's hard to see where this gets resolved. I still stick with what I said on our last episode, where I presume this is resolved through some kind of $2 billion compromise,
exactly,
where both,
yeah,
sides save
the
face,
smart move,
and
is,
he swallows it, because he's already said things to that effect,
yeah,
where he's already kind of laying the groundwork consciously or subconsciously for himself to eat shit.
Well,
basically.
I mean, the smart move is the Democrats to give enough for him to take it as a win himself and tweet about how it was a win. But I don't know. I mean, if he really digs in, then he might not take anything less than the full amount. And if that's the case, I don't know how the Democrats can really give up that, especially with a new Congress that they control the gavel of.
I mean, it depends how they want to resolve it, because they can just, chop up one spending bill and just pass multiple smaller spending bills and just fund the government department by department till you get to the last one.
We'll see. I have no idea.
I think here's the power move for Pelosi. She takes a book out of the 50 Cent playbook and says, we'll give you your funding provided you on camera read a chapter from Harry Potter. Where if you just read a book on camera.
Read human language,
yeah,
on a piece of paper.
Yeah, you just have to read like the first three paragraphs of a Harry Potter book, yeah, on camera. But like, you can't, like, you have to be like, they would just have to give him something randomly. He might prepare phonetically.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah. Or,
I swear we watched him read something recently. Because I remember there was this big controversy over whether he could read.
Well, there's a video, we've talked about this a while ago, there's a video of him in a deposition.
Yes.
Where it's a lease that was one of Ferruno's properties. And they asked him to read a paragraph of it, and he's incredibly resistant. He says, I don't have my glasses. And he's like, there's a lot of words here. You want me to read all these? And then he starts reading and then he sort of trails off. And he doesn't read the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he could read. He's not illiterate, but he might be at a point where
I think at one point
he can't focus long enough.
We know for sure, like, you know, his age, or the people said, like, he really doesn't like reading.
Yeah.
And I think maybe at one point in his life, he probably knew how to read. But, like, I think he's actually lost that ability.
How can you not like reading?
I think it's atrophied to, like, where, like, I don't think he can.
Yeah. He's a senile man.
Donald Trump, if you're listening to this, I thought I had lost my ability to read, too. I thought I would never read another book again. Then my friend Andrew issued me a challenge. We have to read Karl Ove Nausgaard's 70,000-page autobiography, My Struggle. I know you like that title. I know what you're thinking. A Norwegian man describing everything that has ever happened in his entire life. Not your thing? Wrong. It's incredible. I'm reading my first book I've read in like 4 or 5 years, Donald, and I think you should do the same. And I think if you know, had a little bit of Nausgaard's reflection, you could bring the jobs back. All right, that's it.
That's another good one. That's another just abstract thing. The jobs are back.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's like he could just say all these things and the people will believe him.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
and the thing is like we've joked before about he should just say that he built the wall.
That was not a joke when I first
And the hogs that. Would believe him. And it would be really funny watching the liberal media try to say, actually, the wall hasn't been built because they're just such relentless fact-checking nerds. But I don't think that's on the table because he would know the wall wasn't built.
What I like is the scam that I mooted 2 years ago, the actual scam to bilk the MAGA chuds out of money by basically fundraising a wall, is now legislation before the House.
And a massively successful GoFundMe by a transparent grifter.
What is it, like $20 million now?
Yeah, by a limbless scam artist veteran.
So what is he going to do with the money?
He has promised to find a way to give it to the government condition that they use it for the wall. And apparently there is the precedent he cites to say that that is legal is that some billionaire, they were running out of money to refurbish the Washington Monument a while ago. And the National Park Service didn't have the money. They didn't have the appropriation to finish building it. And he said, I'll give you this money to build it. But of course that doesn't involve the eminent domain and all the massive, it wouldn't involve all the other elements of the moving parts of government regulation that would have to go to build this wall. It's not even comparable.
Could you go to this guy's house wearing a cheap suit and a big sash that says mayor and say, yes, sir, I'll take that money. Posit it right in the treasury. Thank you for your service.
It says comptroller on a big sash. Yeah, and the other one is some chud congressman from Mississippi or something has proposed a bill in Congress to allow for the sale of wall bonds.
He's from Ohio, actually.
Oh, really? I thought it was Mississippi.
Unless we're talking about different bills.
They might be two different bills.
Wall and bonds? Honestly,
yeah, like war bonds, but for the wall.
Oh, great.
Wall bonds.
And honestly,
bonds.
That would be legal. That is a way to fund government services. And it would be basically a voluntary tax, like the people who buy stock in the Green Bay Packers, but for racism. And
so like people who buy stock in the Green Bay Packers.
Most of them, yes. And that won't go anywhere, obviously, because Congress is now Democratic. But yeah, I mean, people would do it. They'd fund it that way.
Oh, of course.
I have a good idea for like this is a small like test pilot we can do before we do the big GoFundMe grift. Say that we need to get P90X for our nephews to get them in shape so they can woo Ocasio-Cortez. You guys remember my big round nephews? Well, we're getting them ripped so they can seduce this socialist femme fatale and convert her to MAGAism. We're locating John Bastow to personally train my enormous fat ham nephews. We need $300,000.
They will initiate kinetic, erotic, romantic ops.
Sorry, back to Alexandria for a second. Can we talk real quick about how the god Randy G. Dub did it again?
He did it again.
Oh my god.
Randy's the king.
One of the greats.
Who has done more to national level upset conservatives? Like if trolling is about upsetting your enemies, who has viscerally angered more and higher level conservatives than Randy?
Oh, Randy, he's put the most points on the board.
Yeah, no question.
Randy is like Ted Williams, just such strong fundamentals.
Oh, yeah, no, he's the splendid splinter for sure.
I don't even see content from him that often.
No, he doesn't post that much.
Whenever I see it, it's a massive thing.
Yeah, that's the 400 batting average.
And there's like three Twitchy articles about it whenever he tweets.
Yeah, he's the last guy to hit 400 in the league, for sure.
Yeah, in case you're not aware of it, AOC got into it. Steve Scalise tried to respond to her and, rack up some
how dare you, sir?
By doing the same thing that I do, which is pretending to not know how marginal tax rates work, including Grover Norquist, who has an entire job as the tax code, pretending that he doesn't know how the fucking marginal rates work.
And then, she responded to him, and then Randy replied to both of them where he was like, snipe his ass. And then, of course, he made it into this thing where he was like, wow, like I tried to have this hashtag debate with you, but your opponents are keeping it hashtag classy.
It's really
dude, it's you can just reply with a baseball emoji. You can't get in trouble for that.
And now, of course,
the baseball
they're going to take away everything fun for people.
Yeah.
And now, of course, there's a nascent, as you would say, effort to make her renounce Randy G-Dub.
Campaign advisor Randy G-Dub, the engineer of the Ocasio-Cortez campaign.
Honestly, this is everyone has been rightfully impressed by her clapbacks and all that, to the degree that that matters, which is very little, but this is the kind of thing that can get tricky, because if you get enmeshed in this kind of stupid thing, that's the kind of thing that they tried to do to Sanders during the primary, was try to get him in a thing where he had to denounce people on Twitter, which... That is quicksand. That is the morass. That's the tar pit. You get in there, you're never coming out. So this is a good test. If she does feel the need to in any way address Randy tweet.
If Rashida Tlaib, if she apologizes for calling Trump a motherfucker, like that's very it. I'm probably going to have to hang myself.
What's really fascinating to me here is thanks to AOC and Steve Scalise here, we're seeing civility politics, the civility politics, which is fundamentally a reactionary thing used to exclusively to fight the left and fight any question of class consciousness or class struggle in the country. We're seeing that play out now in the halls of floor of the United States Congress.
Yeah, baby.
As you were saying, Virgil, like it's also we're seeing laid bare like what civility politics is really about, which is, occluding any possibility of a popular sort of political language or discourse that is capable of identifying the enemies
of
our society or the opponents of us having a better future or life for anyone. And like, I'm sorry, that's what politics is.
No, that's populism, and that's
bad. Right.
As Evan McMullen pointed out, the right-wing populists blame minorities and immigrants. Left-wing populists blame rich people. It's all poisonous.
Or like this idea,
it's
like, let's not, demonize people. And it's just like, these people are demons.
Pizzagate is real.
I'm not demonizing them. Yeah, I'm just pointing out the fact that like they literally, like they are the Satan.
They're demons.
Like they are sucking off his dick.
They
every
fuck
day.
Children.
If you believe in the concept of evil, who else would be evil? These are living goblins.
Just think of a fucking healthcare executive. Think of somebody who works for a like a high level at a pharmaceutical company or an insurance company. These people are the cabal of death panel monsters.
Yeah.
These are the Barryas of our time who decide who lives and who dies, all for their own. It's like Barrya was a monster, but he still lived in a shitty little house, These guys are doing it for their gigantic, disgusting Hamptons mansion.
You know what was funny? Joe Manchin went off about Rashida Tlaib and said, I hope you don't use that language around your son. And it's like, what language do you use with your shithead pharmaceutical CEO daughter? Because it definitely should be a lot worse than that.
Use your language around your son. I'm sorry. Are you an adult? Like cursing is part of our language. Like if you don't curse, like you're like Mitt Romney. That's just like, that's weird. It's untrustworthy. It's also, you're probably evil. If you can't say the word motherfucker about the motherfuckers who run and control everything in this country, then it's just like...
they're going to kill all of us.
No one has ever looked more like they would die in a monster truck-related mishap than Joe Manchin, and just, for whatever reason, it hasn't happened. Just still have to... Do you use that around your daughter? What are you, her fucking dad? God, fuck off.
Yeah, and then fucking Claire McCaskill on the way out, being like, talking a gang of shit about Ocasio-Cortez.
You lost. You fucking lost.
Joe Donnelly,
like,
too.
Yeah, and she was just like, well, you know, I don't know if this message can win in red states. It's like, you fucking lost in a red state, in a state where right to work was roundly defeated and decriminalizing marijuana passed easily.
And a minimum wage hike was on the ballot and won by a big, big margin.
No, it was... Donnelly and McCaskill honestly swear to God think that they lost because of her. 100%.
Yeah.
They think that because they had to answer for her crazy shit and Bernie's crazy shit in the haulers, that's why they lost. They're 100%. Even though the only reason McCaskill won last time when there was no AOC talking anything was because she was running against a guy who said rape is cool before Trump showed up. I mean, I think she honestly still would have lost against that Aiken if he'd run this time.
Yeah. For sure.
100%.
So it was just a perfect confluence of the moment before sort of the fall from grace of that scandal cycle that could last for more than an hour.
And again, like when
McCaskill
came out with that shit, you know what I heard none of? I heard no hand-wringing about circular firing squad or, hey, we need to fight Trump. Yeah. Like, you know, let's hold our fire for the real enemy.
Right.
No, I saw people clap with all the Center for American Progress fucking slugs clapping her on the back and leaving a wet mucus trail going down it on her fucking way out the door.
Yeah.
You lost. Robbie Mook coming out, be like trying to give advice about the Dems. Literally, Robbie fucking Mook was just like, you know, about the motherfucker thing. And Cortez, he was like, you know, this may excite some people, but like, this is, you know, like, if it's just a message, you know, without focusing on Trump, you're playing into his hands. It's just like, you wrote the book on losing an election to Trump and then went overseas to try to literally, not technically lose an election, but basically lose an election for Theresa May.
Wait, you're being unfair. You can't just pin those two elections on Robbie Mook. You're forgetting that he ran the DCCC in 2010. You remember?
He
knows all about winning congressional elections.
Well, they lost
60
seats.
Okay, they could have lost more.
Yeah.
What if they lost 300?
Robbie Mook, who put press gangs at the border of Wisconsin and Michigan to keep volunteers from showing up, like the turn back Okies from California during the fucking Dust Bowl. We don't count to your kind around these parks. Take your sign to go back to Iowa
and
get back to your Oprah book club.
And you know, like I sort of, Felix, as you were saying earlier, like, you know. It even for the people that we like and are rooting for, it's going to be, you know, the longer this goes, it's going to be very, very hard for them not to suck.
Oh, they're going to suck, probably.
Like, it's going to be
Congress just, it makes you suck.
I'm rooting for them, but like, you know, let's be very clear about, like, you know, again, like this civility policing and all the advice they're being given, like what is really being offered here, which is just, you know, a politics that precludes any possibility of identifying the, you know, class struggle or the enemies of a common good.
Well, and the other thing is the cornerstone of this and what makes it hard for them to understand what's happening and why you see such weird takes about how, oh, these guys only like Bernie because of how big his dick is and how he's fucking pimp and how, you know, he's got no hair and that's alpha or whatever, is because they really can't process politics outside of the lens of personal appeal of individuals. And the thing is, like, I saw the movie Blob, Bob Chipman saying, another liberal who has to pretend to like Ocasio-Cortez right now because she is riding high and she's doing good and has good news cycles.
She's
that are
also
positive
young, a woman, and a minority.
And exactly. So he can't not like her, even though he's probably not very happy with what she's doing in terms of protesting against Pelosi and trying to go against the caucus and proposing crazy things like a 70% marginal tax rate. He said, she's doing great now, but just wait until the bros decide that she's a neoliberal sellout. And of course, that's him just trying to sharpen his axe against who he's really mad at. But the fact is that if she does do bad things in Congress, how is it hypocritical or some sort of betrayal to then criticize them for that? Their idea is you pledge fealty. It's feudal. We're fucking feudal peasants. We all know that's like the way we process everything now. You have to, you swear allegiance to some political figure. You swear your sword to them forever. And no matter what they do, you have to defend them. And the idea that what they're there to do is pass fucking policies, and that your commitment is to the policies and is to changing things. It's not to individual personalities. They can't compute. It doesn't make sense to them.
Another interesting angle to that, to like, yeah, like the weird way that like this kind of anti-politics is that, like, you know, yeah, when you you know, are critical of a politician, or you support policies that are, like, I don't know, outside the mainstream, or you use, you know, harsh language or messaging, like, you know, what we do if we're just talking politics or offering an opinion, people react to that like it's always like that everybody is always thinking the same way they do in terms of, like, you know, campaign optics and strategy and, like, you know, how does this look, or optics, rather than like, this is just what I think is true.
Yeah.
Like, I think the Democratic Party sucks and is, like, actively harming this country and the world, and, like, they need to be done away with before anything constructive can happen. I don't know if that's a positive message or one that would win an election, but I just happen to think it's true. The fact that I have a platform and I'm saying it, like, I don't know what the political, I'm not, like, thinking strategically about what the political effect is that. I just, like, happen to think, like, if I say what I believe is true and say why I think it's true, then maybe, like, other people will think the same way.
Well, that's mostly...
Or a group might already agree with me without knowing it.
I think some people genuinely think that way, and because they're Democrats, because they're conditioned to losing, they're petrified of it, and so they do think in these very strategic terms. But I think a lot of it is disingenuous. I think it masks their genuine positions. They say, of course we all accept that this is the right thing.
Oh, yeah.
Of course this is what we want. But it's not going to play. It's not feasible. It's not canny strategy.
Terry McAuliffe talking about,
exactly.
You know, of course that we want Medicare for all. It's just,
no, you don't.
You know, like, yeah. He's like, we just can't pay for it now.
No, you don't.
Or universal education, but I don't think we should be paying for the kids of rich kids to go to college. The answer to all of that, by the way, is, like, if you're worried about rich people getting access to universal benefits or, like, getting away with something, just tax them more.
Exactly.
Just raise their taxes.
If they're paying taxes, it's not free for them. It's pretty simple. But yeah, Terry McAuliffe, I really want Medicare for all. Really? Then who's going to pay for your cheese pizzas and your fucking Bahamas vacations in the Epstein sex dungeon if there aren't healthcare pharmaceutical executives?
Well, we were talking about, like, you know, moving that window. Maybe the singular most powerful thing Cortez and Taleb and everyone can do right now is force all these fucking monsters who for the past 2 years have been saying, yeah, of course I want everyone cut. Of course. I want this. I want that. Make them argue for austerity. Make them openly say they want it. Make them openly say they don't want everyone to have cover. Everyone to have health care. Make them openly say what they want. Finally. Make them all look as shitty as Claire McCaskill. Finally. Say who you are.
The one guy who looks like he might actually take that up the challenge.
Joe motherfucking Biden.
He appears to be ready to go out there as right now the paper leader in the Democratic field and go, yeah, I'm going to be the austerity guy.
Go off,
I'm going to say means test Social Security, raise the retirement age. I'm going to be the guy who tells the truth. I'm going to be the West Wing straight shooter where you give me credit for telling you the truth and not sugarcoating it, not trying to kiss your ass with free stuff.
He got out there and said of young people, he's like, when young people say they got it hard today, give me a break.
Oh, my God.
He was like, I'm going to start another Vietnam just so that they do have something.
Did you see the Joe Biden? It was like an old article someone found about Joe Biden where it's such a Dan Quinn story where he's like, he's a lifeguard at a pool. And he's like, then some black fellows came up. And I'm like, oh, I already like where this is going,
and he's
Joe.
Like, and then I told him, you ever seen a senator from Delaware with feet like this?
Yeah.
Hell nah, buddy. He started dancing.
Well, he said one of them was named Corn Pop, which, like...
Corn Pop, yeah.
Holy
what?
Shit.
Corn Pop
what?
Was coming at him.
I was already making the soy face.
Did he do, like, a switchblade or something?
Yeah, and then Joe...
He got the chain.
And this is so Dan Quinn. He goes, and then I took a bat wrapped in barbed wire, or chain, I said, you may stab me, Corn...
He wrapped his wrist around his wrist.
He's like, you may stab me, Corn Pop, but you're going down with me. It's so...
How did I miss that?
He says such... That's like... He's just Trump without dementia.
No, and
it's the same personality.
That's why...
He's read a book.
Probably also has the same relationship with women as Trump does.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, yeah.
No, he's going to be the guy who just decides, I'm going to get all of the grandparents, all the Democratic grandparents who resent their kids, and I'm going to have them run. And then everyone else is going to split the kids, and I'll have all the angry grandparents. And since they vote more, I'll get the nomination.
Yeah, what are the chances? What are the chances of like a Biden Romney unity ticket? And then like I really will have to just like self lobotomize myself.
If Biden got the nomination, you're going to be talking about Romney as a possibility if he would take it. Definitely like Mattis.
Mattis, yeah.
Somebody like that. Okay. For sure.
I have for the Romney Biden super ticket. You want to think about something?
Let's do it.
I really do.
Lin-Manuel Miranda and Kenny Chesney do a duet where it's like, you know, I'm from the rapping part of America and you're from the country singing part. But we can all come together and say, you know, no more of this Russia stuff. We have more in common than we have. It's like Accidental Racist.
Yeah, right. I was going to say.
Yeah.
Good, dude. So good to think about.
I love thinking about it.
Lin-Manuel he's rapping on stage and he's like, you know, you may sing a country tune, but I may vote for the left, but that don't make me a loon. And then Kenny Chesney just takes out his guitar and he's wearing like a shirt with 50,000 rhinestones on it. And he's just belting it out, and Joe Biden's doing like the old man, like slow clap and nod to it, and Mitt Romney's doing the one permitted Mormon dance, which is the floss. I love thinking about
like,
this.
He's like, hey, like you know, I'll forgive you for your funny hair if you forgive me for my magic underwear.
Oh yeah, dude.
Let's make it happen.
Vision 2020. We gave you guys another shitty thing that's going to happen. Sorry, none of the good things are happening. We did it again. This one's going to happen. Hope you like it.
It's a shopping cart with the wheel that only makes it go one direction.
Yeah. I mean, this is like, again, like what we sort of tried to describe in the book about the Democratic Party is that like they basically only exist to like, they're only like an algorithm that just compromises with like whatever the other thing is doing, no matter how insane it is.
Yeah. They're only splitting the difference, and they can right.
But like I the only thing they actually believe in is that like the point of politics is to compromise.
Yes,
which is why we're getting things something like let's just put like you know half of the children in jail.
Yeah,
along these lines, go south a little bit in the globe. Our boy Bolsonaro becomes president already, and you're already seeing articles in The Economist and like, you know, centrist, I guess, liberal political journals just being like, Brazil's, you know, new populist president has some wacky ideas, but some sound plans for reforming pensions. And it's just like, they're like, the number one most important thing he needs to do, reform Brazil's outdated pension system.
Yep.
And in exchange for that, he can bulldoze the entire rainforest and literally kill every gay person in Brazil.
Yeah.
Cause like that's what they want. Like yeah. that to them is like that's the reasonable compromise. Yeah. You know,
it's gonna be great. Le Pen, same thing. Whenever any of these psychos take power, it's gonna be the same thing.
There is something in Bolsonaro's face that I've talked about. It. He looks like he's always gonna burst into tears. And if this was a betting pool, if I had to bet any money on any world leader self harming and possibly killing themselves, Jair Bolsonaro of Brazil. So. You know, maybe.
Keep an eye out.
There's some people who say he has colon cancer just because he looks so shitty compared to like 2 years ago.
That would be funny.
It's interesting. Yeah. I saw the other day, and this kind of goes back to the whole kind of promise, but the peril of having a very popular socialist elected official. Kamala Harris posted a brief clip of herself also dancing and says, you know, for the record, I want to add more dancing to politics, too.
I can't wait to see Tim Kaine hit the ya yeet. No. Fucking awesome.
Oh, God. Oh.
Fucking tight.
And all the replies on that were, you know, it was all just like movie blob soy face shit. About you know keep slaying out there or hello 911 I want to report a murder of the patriarchy and but the thing is I mean the online is terrible, it's going to keep being terrible, and a lot of these people that you see online, a lot of these commenters, a lot of these just really dumb people expect or want the 2020 Democratic primaries to be beauty pageants, basically.
Yeah.
And because if there are no actual political issues at stake and you really believe like, oh, everyone's just on the same team and so you have to be nice to each other, then therefore you're just kind of fighting over what? You're deciding based on what? Image?
Yeah.
Like, that's it, image. And the most obvious image aspects are gender, race, pretty much. But I really don't think that for the actual people who are going to vote and decide this, by which I mean like 500 people in a high school gymnasium in Iowa for some fucking reason, I really don't think it will be a beauty pageant. I think that this will be an actual fight for the future of the party. It will be a fight among the constituent interest groups of the Democratic Party, and a particularly vicious one.
Well, I hope so. The bloodier, the better. It needs to be. Let's hope it's a dance of dragons.
But, you know, that said, you said if it's a beauty pageant, let's hope so, because now it's finally Lincoln Chafee's time to shine.
Hell yeah.
The most beautiful man.
Gorgeous. So just a perfect wasp. Just generations of inbreeding providing this graceful, cultish man.
Imagine, like, okay, so it's like Harris, Gillibrand, just all these people who focus tested everything. They're perfectly phrasing everything. And then Chafee shows up. He's got like a CVS receipt running out of his pocket. And he's like, oh, sorry, I forgot. I thought I left that in the car. And then he's, does anyone validate parking here? He's just interrupting. That's America's choice.
My dad Lincoln died. Chafee. I'm sorry.
That was the greatest thing. They're like, you voted for this thing. Ah, give me a break. I'd been there a week. Dude, I'm casting
my back hurts. I just got up 3 hours.
I can see
ago.
Why he's your guy.
I love him.
He's got the excuses.
Yeah,
going.
He's the best excuses.
The lag in the Senate was very, very, very bad.
You know, lawmaking is all about peripherals. there's a very human Gill-like quality to Lincoln Chafee.
He is a Gill.
Yeah,
he's
I'm
a Gill.
Casting my lot with Lincoln Chafee.
Want to close out? Want to do some New Year's Rodden Eve?
Yes.
Want to rod in the new year?
Rod in the new year.
Okay. I just want to close out by checking in on Rod Dreher, because, you know, he's had some, I mean, his brain continues to become extremely powerful.
It's so big.
He did do, I was a little disappointed. He did have a big article on Fortnite. It was a big blog post on Fortnite. Wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. Mm. He didn't address the issue of playing as a female character if you are a boy.
Because that seems like that's Garrett. That's right, tailor made for him.
It was well, just he doesn't know enough. That's only a thing for people who are like sweaty at the game. I wish that if he watched like esports or streamers, he would know that everyone likes to play as a girl, but he doesn't. He's not a cultured man.
It was more just about like how he doesn't let his kid play Fortnite, and it's making it hard for his kid to have friends, and no one. Likes
yeah, that's
his,
what it is.
No
yeah.
one likes.
It's
his
not
kid.
That you try to exercise every playmate that comes to your
and
house.
And actually, by the way, Rod never gave us
holy water. In their
Rod,
face.
Rod never gave us. An
we
update
never got
on
a fucking
exorcism.
Update on yeah. that exorcism. Which she's dead, by the way. Clearly,
gotta yeah. be.
They
yeah.
killed her. They dumped her in a fucking well.
Oh God,
that's gonna be haunted.
How
now.
Did they find a well in Manhattan? This is so cool.
They're the cloisters.
They're so trad. They found a well.
The Fortnite one was mainly just about how yeah. like kids are addicted to video games. And,
true.
Like, blah blah. You know. Blah blah.
Destroy
blah.
Them. I'm with Rod on that.
This one, I'm not even gonna give you any setup or tell you what he's talking about at all. I just want to read this one paragraph, like bereft of any context.
Give it to me.
This just says update 2.
Oh boy.
Oh good.
Because updates really are where the meat yeah. is.
Update. Update 2. Hey deniers, just ignore the fact that a Democratic US congresswoman flew the transgender pride flag outside her office. I guess that didn't happen, given how this is extreme, no big deal, and we don't see this in our daily life, so it just must not be a real thing. Also, prostheses aren't dildos, so if the Democratic congresswoman affixes a prosthetic penis to the door of her office in solidarity with prepubescent FTM trans children, don't you hypocritical Republicans dare call it a dildo.
Did that happen?
Well, okay, let's... I can't imagine that it did.
This is just like, reading that is just like looking at a Magic Eye poster.
Yeah. So presumably somebody put a transgendered flag up.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, you don't think that's a big idea? But what if she put a prosthetic dick there?
Well, I mean, just I guess some backstory. This like the post he's really talking about is a company that sells prosthetic penises for like transgender children.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like to like, you know, put in your pants or whatever.
Oh, okay.
It's a fake. Yeah. As he describes it, a fake penis.
All right. And that's a good thing to think about. All day.
See,
you have, you know, you're trying to raise your kids and write your art. Just think about it all day. All day. Just don't stop. Think about it for the rest of 2019, Rod. Just
a fake.
Never stop thinking about it.
He describes it as a fake penis for an 11-year-old girl to put in her pants.
Oh, my God. I knew we were in for whenever anything starts out with, hey, deniers. That's such a good, like, hey, you're all seriously fucking pathetic. You know, you're a bunch of fucking, I can't believe you guys. You're not thinking about the FDM trans children all day like I am. So he thinks it's like a moral crisis.
Yeah.
This thing that doesn't affect him at all. He doesn't know it. Like, so what's his solution to it? They just are put into like state run religious camps or something.
I mean, I think that would be his preferred option.
Yeah, probably.
But you know, it's like what Lincoln said. It's, if you gave me 12 hours to chop down a tree, I would spend 6 hours thinking about transgender children dildos.
He's just such a, it's like, can't you do anything else, man? Literally like half of his day is just obsessed with like thinking about trans children. It's literally all he does. He's just such a rotten person.
Do you think Rod listens to our show? Because I could picture him listening to the show and hearing this and just chuckling, going, yeah, I guess I do that, huh?
No, he's chuckling at us. He's like, you fools. You don't know. They're going to come for you one day.
Well, Rod, I know who's gonna, Rod's going to have a great 2019, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's not just going to be spent alone and seething and reading letters from other similarly isolated, freakish people. Who are just like...
Accidentally killing more people during exorcisms.
Did you know that they're going to... Thanos is going to make all the Avengers trans? Wow. Just what a fucking shitty life, man. God, you suck, man.
Oof. So another thing to look forward to in 2019, prosthetic dildos just sticking off the door of every congresswoman. And if you go against it, buddy, you better believe they'll make you suck one of those dildos.
It's just so his like, it's like they're going to put that on their door. Oh, then we'll, you know, this is crisis point. There's a prosthetic dildo on the office door. Then what? What even happens? You can put it on all the doors. It's just... Rod should just play Fortnite, honestly.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, just anything. Play Mahjong. Do like what my grandmother does. Play bridge with her friends. Do something, man. It's just you're having a bad time.
I love the Rod Fortnite stream.
Yeah, he should, really good. Start to Twitch. He should do the Twitch.
He probably would. I'd subscribe to it. I donate a lot of money to that. Rod, I know you're listening. Start a Twitch stream.
I would like to see what his emotes would be. All the Orthodox saints. St. Barnabas. Can I get some St. Barnabas going on chat?
262 headshot. Get fucked, pussy. Let me see some St. Stanislaus in chat. Well, here's to another
year. 2019, fellas. Yes. Glad to be starting off the new year right, back in the trap.
We're yeeting into the new year, boys.
Still don't know what that means.
I'm not really sure either.
Okay, I'm glad.
You know, and the only time I've heard it is from, like, this fat white Twitch streamer who, like, he says it annoyingly. Like, he'll do something and he'll go, yeah, yeet! And it's just so stupid to me. I don't know what the original extraction of it is. But I just like to think about Tim Kaine doing it. It's cool for me to think about.
They should make him, he should run for president.
Tim Kaine.
Oh, yeah, why isn't
Tim
he running?
Tim Kaine, Tom Cotton, super ticket.
Nobody's talked about Tim Kaine. He was the last VP nominee. Usually that guy runs for president.
He was the first.
Yeah, and Edmund Muskie
style.
He's
the first man in America to speak Spanish.
Well, our brains will continue to grow and get more powerful in 2019.
Oh, yes.
And we hope that you will be there with us. So happy New Year, everyone.
See you, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.